And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, that we might be more effective for you, that we might be all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Tonight, I want to share a message with you about knowing the Scriptures. Simple message. We've been talking about faith for many, many weeks, and just felt like it was finally time for me to go in a different direction here. It's just different slightly, because when we're talking about faith, I'm telling you, it's pretty closely related to talking about the Scriptures, right? But we're gonna talk about the Scriptures tonight and knowing the Scriptures, and I really believe that this is something that we need to hear, we need to be reminded of the importance of knowing the Scriptures. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. That means it is divinely inspired. I believe that it is authoritative. It's infallible. It carries God's authority, and God backs it up. It doesn't have any errors. It doesn't have any flaws. I believe God inspired every word of it. You know, it is certainly true that the church fathers decided what books would constitute the Bible. They also decided which manuscripts would be used. When they selected those books to be in the Bible, they selected which manuscripts, because some of the books, there were a number of manuscripts that were being circulated, and they weren't all exactly the same. But I believe the same God that inspired it to be written also inspired, and He led and gave direction and guidance to those church fathers as they determined which books would be included in the Holy Scriptures and also which manuscripts. And I want you to understand that in our day and time, that's always going to be challenged. It's always going to be challenged by people who want to find a way around the Scripture. They want to make up their own theology instead of knowing the one true God. They want to make up their own God. Or they want to decide what should be in the Bible and what shouldn't be in the Bible. But I just to put it real blunt, if we don't have the Word of God, if we don't have the Bible as our standard and guide for living, as our standard and guide for knowing God and understanding the things of God, we don't have anything. In fact, what we end up with is what we see in our culture, this weird mixed religion of anything goes. Church, we got to hold to the Scriptures. Now, I also see in our society today, in the church, well, let me just start this way. You know, there was a period of time in history when for hundreds and hundreds of years, only certain people had access to the Scriptures, and everybody else had to take their word for what it said. And how blessed we are that in our country today, anybody that wants one can have a Bible. In fact, most of us got a whole bunch more than one, right? I know that because some of you leave them here, and I know you're still reading your Bible, right? I know, so you must have a bunch of them, right? But what I see happening sometimes in the church in America today is people going back to the idea and the attitude that we'll just leave it to the pastors or the preachers and those in professional ministry to tell us what the Bible says. And I want you to know, you need to know for yourself what the Bible says. And you know, I hope that I challenge you all the time to read the Bible for yourself. I mean, I hope that you never just come and take my word for it. Because you know what? If you're taking my word for it, there will come a day when it will be tested. And if you're not 100% sure that it's what the Bible says, you won't be able to stand on it. But when you know that this is what God's Word has said, not just the Word of a man, but it's the Word of God, then you know you can stand on the Word of God with confidence. It will give you faith to rise up in the tests and the challenges of life and be able to overcome. It is our standard to live by. It is our instruction manual for life. Now, you know, there's a whole message there I like to preach. I'm not going to go too far into that, but, you know, so many people, they try to do things without reading the instructions. And I want to tell you that life is not something that you want to live by trial and error. That's called a mess. You want to live your life by the instructions. It's the only way to go. This is our instruction manual for life. But most importantly, it reveals Him to us. In our year-long series to know Him, that's why every single week I gave you a full page of Scripture references for you to study on your own, because this book reveals to us the one true God. This is how you can really and truly know God as He is. You know, if you get to know God different than what the Scripture says, you're not getting to know God. I'm telling you, there are a lot of deceived people in our culture and society who have made a God of their own making instead of truly worshiping the God of the Bible. The Scripture is the only way that we can know that we're truly worshiping the true God. Some people say, well, this is God and that's God. This is the way God is. God is like that. Listen, God is who He is. And what you say He is or what somebody claims to be God doesn't change the fact that God is still who He is and who He's always been for all eternity. And the Bible reveals truth to us about Him so that we might truly know Him, so that we might know how He wants us to live, so we might know how to worship Him. I appreciated the message that Pastor Jonathan shared about praise because it was biblically based. In fact, one of the things he said is that if we're going to honor God in our praise, then we should praise Him the way He says He likes to be praised instead of just the way we want. And you know, this is kind of a peeve for me because we're living in this culture of Mac Church, have it your way. And we, you know, but it's not our way. It should be God's way. It's not about what I'm comfortable with. It's about what God wants. You know, where we got this comfortable religion thing, it didn't come from the Bible. There's not a whole lot comfortable about Jesus' message other than peace that passes understanding, I mean, and joy unspeakable. But what I'm saying is even those things, it's not always comfortable. I don't know where we got that comfortable religion thing, but it didn't come from the Bible. But what I really want you to understand is that we need to hold to the Scripture and we need to search the Scriptures for truth. You know, you can always find fault and flaws with what people do with the Word of God and maybe what some people teach, but the Word of God itself is infallible. It's always right. There's no error. It always proves itself. If you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, then you can just believe anything. We got to be students of the Word. If we want to be mature believers, we need to purpose in our lives to study the Word of God, to meditate the Word. We need to make it our goal to know the Scriptures. I realize that some of what I'm saying right now, for some of you, it's very elementary. And you're saying, oh, I've known this for decades. I've been studying the Scriptures for decades. But I want to challenge you. Don't stop. Stay hungry. The Bible says, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. You see, we got to stay meek and humble and teachable and keep learning. If you stop learning, you stop growing. But I also know that there are a lot of people who are saved and they love the Lord, and yet they find it difficult to read or to study the scripture. And so they just kind of put that off on the shelf and just listen to other people tell them what the Bible says. And I especially want to challenge you tonight. If that's the way that you felt in the past, I want to challenge you tonight that you can understand the Bible. And you yourself can know the scriptures and know what the Bible says. And most of all, you need to hear this now. You need to know for yourself what the scripture says. And I just encourage you and challenge you to know the scripture. Jesus said, Matthew 22:9, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." The King James says, you err because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. You're in error because you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. By the way, knowing the scriptures and the power of God usually go hand in hand. If you don't know the scriptures, you don't know the power of God. Now, some people know the scriptures and still don't know the power of God because they just learned them out of some religious duty, not as a life-changing word. But most of the time, knowing the scriptures and knowing the power of God go hand in hand. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, "You're mistaken." How do people get in error? It is as simple as this. They don't know the scriptures. What we have so much of in our generation is knowing a little bit of scripture and being in error. We need to know the scripture. Now tonight, I don't want any of us to get under condemnation. There is none of us that has arrived. I sense in my own spirit, I need to dig in. I need to study the Word of God. But I want to challenge you that to not be content where you're at and see that you also need to study, that for every person who is a believer, a child of God, there needs to be that desire to learn, to grow in the Word of God. So many today in the church in America who are believers, but not disciples. They're not the same thing. A believer is somebody that believes in Jesus. A disciple is somebody who has learned His way of life. A disciple, by the way, Jesus called us not to get people to pray a prayer. He called us to make disciples. It's Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Everything that Jesus commanded, He says, you teach them to observe it. You teach them my teachings so that they'll live my life. That's what He's saying. That's to be a disciple of the Lord. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. But Jesus made it very clear that as His people, we're supposed to be discipling other people, not just getting people to pray a prayer. No, we're supposed to teach people. We're supposed to show them how to live the life that Jesus lived. Now, if we stay in the Word, then we will become real disciples of the Lord. You notice I said real as opposed to pretend. Pretend, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? Jesus said, John 8:31-32, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." King James said, "If you continue in my word, if you stay in it, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." You really are. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The NIV says, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples." See, I don't want to just make heaven. I don't want to just barely make it. I want to be all that God wants me to be. I want to live the abundant life that Jesus has promised us. But how can we truly be His disciples? He said, you got to continue in my word. You got to abide in my word. You got to stay in my word. You know what? I think one of the most damaging things in our culture, we talked about time and how important that it is that we honor God with our time. But I think one of the most damaging things in our culture is how that our time gets used and wasted by so many foolish things, to where most of us think that we just don't have time to really study the Bible and really read the Bible. So I'm going to challenge you today. In one 24-hour day, you have 96 15-minute segments. Now, I know for some of you, you're thinking, 15 minutes? My pastor, I'm studying the Bible 2 hours every day. Well, you go. But I want to especially help those of you that are struggling in this area, because I'm telling you, you need to know the Scriptures. It will keep you from error. It will keep you from destruction. It will keep your faith strong. You need to know the Scriptures. 1/96th of your day. I mean, that's almost 1/100th, right? 1/96th of your day. 1/96th of your day. 15 minutes. Way shorter than what most of us spend eating. Way shorter than what most of us spend grooming. Y'all are all really pretty, I'm telling you. I know you spent more than 15 minutes grooming. Well, you ladies did. I don't know about some of you guys, but anyway. I had to say that because it takes me about 10 minutes at the most. But anyway, you can tell, right? Moving right along. 15 minutes of your day. I want to challenge you. Now, I really believe this. You take that 15 minutes and you dedicate that to the Lord, that you're going to read His Word, study, meditate His Word for 15 minutes. And I know what'll happen. It'll begin to grow. It won't be too long until 15 minutes just isn't enough for you. And there may be days when you have time for 30 or 45 minutes. But no matter what, you give the Lord that 15 minutes to study His Word. Now, I want to give you just some real practical advice, and then I'm going to move on in the message here. If you're struggling to understand what you're reading, get a modern translation. Sometimes with modern translations, they don't hold very well in accuracy, but if you're reading the 16th century Bible and you don't understand anything it says, then I just encourage you, get a modern translation. You can read the two together side by side, but you need to make it a little simpler and plainer English for you so that you can understand it. And here's the next practical thing. Don't start in the book of Leviticus. If you're just starting out and saying, I'm going to give 15 minutes a day to study the Word of God, then I encourage you, read Psalms and Proverbs. Read the book of Genesis, which has so many great stories about the men and women of God. And read the New Testament. Now, I say read the New Testament. You probably should lay off of Revelation till after you've learned some of the rest of it, because I've been in this for over 30 years, and there's a lot in there I still don't get. But I'm just saying that if you're just, you know, really starting out to really study the Bible, start off reading the New Testament. Read Psalms and Proverbs and read the book of Genesis. And most of that, I'm telling you, you're going to be able to understand. It's going to make sense to you. And as you grow and you mature in understanding the Bible, and your frame of reference begins to grow and understanding the Bible, it's going to get to where one day you'll be reading Leviticus. But for now, I encourage you, just start off in those passages that are simple, that speak more directly to us. And I really believe that you'll get something out of it every time if you'll dedicate that time to the Lord and purpose to do that, to know the Scriptures. Jesus said, if you continue in My Word, then you really are My disciples. So many Christians today are bound in some area because they don't really know the truth. He said, if you continue in My Word, then you really are My disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. A lot of Christians not really living and experiencing all God has for them because they don't really know the Scriptures. You know what they responded to Jesus with when he told them that? They said, "We've never been in bondage to anyone." Now, they just didn't get it. They were so bound by tradition. They were bound up by teachings and rules of men. Bound up. They weren't free. They were all bound up by all this religion, by tradition that had been passed down from their fathers. And it just seemed to get bigger and bigger and more bondage with each generation. Didn't realize they were bound. And so it is with people today that a lot of times they don't even realize that they're bound by religion. I'm telling you, one of the greatest hindrances to people experiencing what God has for them, what God wants to do in their life today, a lot of times is what they learned many years ago. "Well, I was taught this. I was taught that." I'm telling you, we need to be willing to hear the Scripture. Not just what a man says, but what the Scripture says. Now, you know as well as I do that most of the time there were Scriptures that were attached to those teachings that bound people up. That's why you got to know more than three verses. You need to know more than just the Scriptures that the preacher gave you on Sunday. You need to know what the Bible says. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." I'm telling you, so much destruction in our world. God doesn't want His people destroyed. How can you avoid destruction? You got to know what the Bible says. You got to have that knowledge of the Scriptures. People bound in their finances, bound by fear and unbelief, bound by guilt and condemnation, bound by sin, bound by traditions of men, bound by the philosophies, the attitudes of this world. I'm telling you, you need to know the Scripture just because so much of the time, the attitudes and the philosophies of the world begin to be taught in church, where preachers find a verse that goes along, you know, that appears to go along with a particular attitude of society and start preaching it in church. I feel like I'm navigating rough waters here. But I'm going to keep sharing. I really believe that we need to hear this tonight. We ourselves need to know the Scriptures. One of the things that we have to do is we have to be teachable. We have to be humble. The Bible says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." We got to be willing to be taught, to learn, to grow. And as we study the Scripture with an open heart, I believe God will show you truth. He said, "If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We all know that Scripture, pride goes before a fall, right? I'm just messing with you because that's not what it says. But that's the way it's always quoted. Well, what it really says is that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit. I better get it right because she's putting it up there. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, it really means basically the same thing. And it's so often in Proverbs, he's repeating, you know, they do that as a teaching tool. They say it one way, and then they give the same principle again, just saying it another way. But, you know, sometimes it matters. People make little changes in the Scripture, and it can totally change the meaning. If it still gives the same spirit of the message as it does in that case, it's not going to lead you into a false teaching. But we just need to be careful that we really know what the Scripture says. So many areas where somebody just changed it a little bit or just pulled it out of context. I'm telling you, so much error is taught in the body of Christ because a scripture, or even not even a whole scripture, a lot of times it's just a phrase. One little phrase is taken out of context, pulled out of the verse, pulled out of the chapter, pulled out of the book. I'm telling you, the first thing we need to do if we want to know what a phrase really means, we need to read it in the context of the chapter. And then we might even need to read it in the context of the book. Now, I'm not saying all the time, but I'm saying that so much of the time error starts when somebody pulls one little phrase out instead of really understanding what that passage was talking about. Now, when I start thinking about all the things that I hear quoted that the Bible says, I remember back when I was a teenager and right after I had turned my life over to the Lord and I was disobedient and didn't keep my room clean. And my mother told me, you know, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. And still, instead of just being obedient, I had to get my Strong's Concordance and prove to her that that wasn't in the Bible. And I was a mess, wasn't I? But I thought it was funny, but she didn't think it was funny. But, you know, there's a lot of things that get quoted as being Scripture that are not Scripture. We've heard this one recently, and, you know, God helps those who help themselves. It's not a Scripture. God does help people. He helps people that help themselves, but mostly He helps people who can't help themselves. But it's not in Scripture. It's just something somebody made up somewhere along the way. But it's amazing how some of these things, people quote them as being Scripture. God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. It's not in Scripture. It is the beginning of a good hymn, but it's not in Scripture. All men are created equal. Well, that sounds really good. You know, the Declaration of Independence is great, but it's not Scripture. Or how about that one, we're all entitled to the pursuit of happiness. Again, that's the Constitution. It's not the Bible. But it's amazing how this stuff gets quoted like it was the Bible. And I've just given you a few little examples. I'm telling you, there's so many things that get quoted as being Scripture because some preacher said it. And I don't want to turn you into a critic. The body of Christ doesn't need fruit inspectors. We're supposed to bear fruit, not inspect fruit. But we do need to know what the Bible says so that we know when teaching is right. And now, if you hear something being taught that doesn't line up with everything that you believe, that doesn't mean you should reject it. What it does mean is that you need to go look at the Scriptures for yourself. And not just that one verse, but you need to search the Scriptures. You need to find what the Bible says. I'm telling you, the Bible interprets itself. If you're struggling to understand one verse of Scripture, let me tell you the best place to get understanding about that Scripture. It's from other Scripture. Other Scripture will shed light on that verse because the Bible never contradicts itself. You need to dig into God's Word for yourself. You can prove that healing's not for today if you just pull a couple of Scriptures out of context. But if you'll search the whole of Scripture, you'll find over and over and over that God heals people. And there was never a time when God didn't heal people throughout history. It's amazing how people think that our time is the only time that God doesn't heal people. No, He still heals people. And you need to know that. But you know what? You need to search the Scriptures for yourself and know what the Bible says about healing. You can support just about any doctrine or any teaching from Scripture if you try hard enough and pull things out of context. But I also know that if you'll go to the Word of God and search the Scriptures with an open heart, that the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to you and show you what's right and what's true. We're accountable for the Word of God that we hear. So it's important that when you hear the Word of God, that you're receptive and open to it. But we also need to be wise, and we need to hold to the whole counsel of God's Word and not be deceived. You know, sometimes a preacher may make a mistake. I know that because I've done it before. I don't remember it, but I'm sure I've done it. No, preachers make mistakes. Sometimes they misquote things. Sometimes they think they're teaching it right. Well, there's a whole lot of that going on, I'm telling you. If you just listen to two different preachers, you're going to hear two different things a lot of the time. And here's what I want you to understand. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It means they're made a mistake. And you need to pray for them. And also, it doesn't mean that nothing else they said was right. You just need to pick the bones out. I was reading a book the other day, and man, it was mostly bones. I mean, about 90% of it, I was just... And every once in a while, I'd come across something that was really good, and I'd say, wow, that's good. That's good. I'm going to hang on to that. Hopefully, most of them aren't 90% bones. But my point is this, that just because somebody says something that you don't totally agree with doesn't mean, or that they missed it in Scripture, doesn't mean that they're bad or that everything they say is wrong. But we just need to hold to the truth of God's Word and not get caught up in this attitude in our society that just whatever sounds good. You know, the Bible talks about that people will heap to themselves teachers that say what they want because they have itching ears. Now, we need to hold to the truth of God's Word. Here's one of those little things that kind of gets thrown around the wrong way sometimes. Money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. If you think money is the root of all evil, then leave all yours here. We'll cast the devil out of it. No, what the Bible does say is that the love of money is the root of all evil. And there's a problem with that in our country. There's a lot of the love of money, and the love of money leads to all kinds of evil in our culture. How about this one? Now, just be quiet, all right? Because I don't want anybody sticking their neck out here. I know how this goes, all right? So, if you have aught against your brother, you're supposed to go to him and tell him. Well, that's what people say all the time. Well, I'm just coming to talk to you, tell you what you did to me, because the Bible says if I have aught against my brother, I'm supposed to come tell. So I'm coming to tell you what does the Bible say? I'm just giving you a couple of examples, all right? I'm telling you, there's a lot of this baloney that goes on where people think they know what the Bible says and they don't. What does the Bible say? It says, it's Matthew 5:23-24. By the way, I'm going to use King James because I know some of you, if it's not King James, it's not the real Bible, all right? But it's also just the way that we kind of heard these quoted, as they say, if you have aught against your brother. All right, well, here it is. If you bring your gift to the altar and there rememberest thou brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift. In other words, it's when your brother has aught against you, you leave your gift and you go make things right with your brother. And what's the point? What's the spirit of this? It is for reconciliation. You know, when people come and they say, oh, I have aught against you and I'm not supposed to tell you about it. They don't want reconciliation. They want a vent and they want vengeance. They don't want reconciliation. I'm telling you, Jesus is all about people being reconciled. So he says, you come to the altar and you know that you've wronged your brother, that you hurt them. You need to go and make that right and then bring your gift. Now, if you know that your brother has aught against you, that's what you're supposed to do. What about if you have aught against your brother? Well, there is a scripture about that. It's Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive. Doesn't say go to him. It says forgive him. You got aught against your brother? Forgive him. Just as your heavenly Father forgives you, you forgive him. You release him from it. Let it go. Just turn it over to God. When you stand praying, so you're praying, forgive. if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. Now there is a passage that talks about dealing with a situation where someone is sinning against you. Matthew 8:15-17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be put unto thee as a heathen and a heathen man and a publican. Now, I want to clarify here. You see, Jesus is teaching very plainly that if someone is committing an act of sin that's worthy of being put out of the church, you need to go talk to them. If they don't receive it, you get two or three more and you go talk to them again. If they don't receive it, you bring them before the whole church. But you know what? I never see that done. And when people go and they say, well, you know, I have aught against you, it's always about some little thing where they hurt their feelings or they offended them or they mistreated them in some way, but it's nothing that they would bring to the pastor, nothing that would be brought before the church. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now, this is just one little area where people take a phrase or a sentence from the Bible and they just run with it. And instead of walking in truth and freedom, see, the Lord wants us to be reconciled to one another. But instead of that happening, the Scripture starts being used as a weapon against one another. Okay, moving along. You need to know what it says. Don't be like the little guy that quoted the Scripture. Do one to others before they do one to you. You need to know what it says. I read in the Dallas paper one time that one man said, apart from the Word of God, we have no standard for moral or ethics. And another man who said he was a Christian said that he believed that people could still be moral and ethical and good people even without the Scripture. Well, moral in whose eyes? Only man's eyes. Because in the eyes of a holy God, if we're going to be moral and ethical, we got to live by His Word. This is our standard. We have to hold to this. You know, it's not just a matter of personal conviction. See, we need to not ever preach our personal convictions as the Word of God or the standards of the Word. We need to be able to know the difference between a personal conviction and something the Bible actually teaches and says. It's amazing how people confuse the two. That's why in our country today we have Christian homosexual churches. How can that be? Because they believe certain verses of Scripture and disregard the rest. Things like, God loves the whole world, God loves me. But they disregard the principles and the teaching of the rest of Scripture. I'm telling you, God does love them, but He wants them to be set free. A lot of Christians in mainline denominations don't even know what the Bible says about homosexuality. And they'll say things like, well, I guess it's okay, God made them that way. They've been so indoctrinated by our culture and they know so little of what the Bible says that they just go along and they're not helping anybody. They're not helping those people get free. Now I want you to understand, we need to love those people. I'm not talking about being hateful to those people. I'm talking about we need to love those people. But we need to love them enough to tell them the truth, to speak the truth in love. That's the only way they're going to get free. We got to know what the Bible says. If you're going to minister to people and be able to help people, and by the way, we're all called to do that. You may not consider yourself a minister, but as a believer, you're supposed to be a witness and be used of the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not sloppy, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you don't have to go to Bible school. But you do need to study the Bible. you do need to be diligent as you search the Scriptures and seek to understand and to know truth. And I'll tell you, God can use you. You may not even be able to quote one verse of Scripture. God can still use you. But how much more effective can you be if you are grounded in the Word and you know what the Scripture says? Let me give you another example of how the Scripture gets twisted. People quote the Scripture. Well, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, so we shouldn't have a death penalty. Listen, the death penalty was God's idea. He instituted it. Only they didn't use an injection. They didn't use a chair. They used stones. But he said, stone them. And not only did he command it, there are also certain instances where he told them, stone them. And yet people will use one of the commandments of the Lord, thou shalt not kill, as a reason to say we shouldn't have capital punishment. Then it gets taken to a whole nother level. Well, the Bible says thou shalt not kill, so you shouldn't be wearing those leather shoes, those you ladies with your furs. Those are animals. God made those creatures and you killed them. By the way, God's the one that first made clothes out of animal skins. He did it for Adam and Eve. It's in the Bible. But it's amazing how people just kind of pull one little thing out of the Bible that suits them. I want to tell you, God loves you. He wants the very best for you. But if you just pull the Scripture out as it suits you, you're going to end up living in bondage, walking in darkness, not really experiencing all that God has for you. No, as a disciple of the Lord, you want to be free. And the only way to do that is to know the truth. And the truth will make you free. So don't go to God's Word with just all your preconceived ideas and say, well, how can I make this verse fit what I already believe? No, you're never going to learn or grow if you do that. But go to the Scripture with an open heart and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and to show you. Take the Word of God for what it says and allow the Spirit to speak to you and reveal truth to you. You know, this thing about being deceived about the Word of God started in the garden. I want permission to go about 5 more minutes. Y'all give it to me. Well, I got 3 of you. That's good enough. Let's go. Y'all forgive me for being long-winded tonight, but I want to get through this. In Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now see, he's already trying to confuse her. And this is the way the enemy still works today. And so often, he doesn't come at you with, you know, horns and a pitchfork and all that. He doesn't even come at you as a serpent. He comes as an angel of light. But he'll twist things and change things just a little bit. So here he is already trying to confuse her. He says, did God say, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Eve says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Anybody see something wrong with that? Because God didn't tell her, at least it's not recorded, we don't see that. God did not tell Adam and Eve, you can't touch it. He said, don't eat of it. So as Eve doesn't seem to be really sure about what was said and what the Word of God was, and so Satan challenged her and he twisted the Word of God. He got her confused about it. And the Bible tells us that Eve was deceived. How can you keep from being deceived? You got to know what the Word of God says. Not just sort of, kind of, I heard a preacher talking about it one day. No, I know what the Bible says. A lot of the times we think one little word or one little thing doesn't matter, but one little dot can make a big difference. It's like a lady that had a wealthy husband and she saw a bracelet that was really beautiful. She wanted it really bad. The price was $75,000. And this was back in the day when they, you know, didn't have a cell phone. They wired. And so she wired her husband, asked him if it was okay to buy this $75,000 bracelet. And he said, no, comma, price too high. But they left the comma out. No price too high. It makes a little difference. Now, I'm telling you, sometimes we do just those kinds of things with the Word of God. We twist it around. We make it say something different than what it says. And I'm just telling you the truth. I picked on a couple of things tonight, but I am trying to avoid most of them because I tell you, it sets people off. When you, some of it is pet doctrines to people, and yet it's not really founded on the truth of Scripture. So that's why I'm challenging you to search the Scripture. Read the Bible for yourself. Find out what it says. You know, and when you hear God's Word preached, tonight, you hear it taught tonight, don't go home and try to prove the preacher wrong. But go home and either confirm it, which will solidify it in your heart, or see if there was something that was wrong. And if there was, you don't have to call me up and be ugly to me. Just pick that bone out and throw it away. But hold to the truth and the things that you confirm in the Scripture. Sometimes people don't want to know what the Bible says. They reject it, not because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. When you face temptation, when you're confused, when you don't know what to do, go to the Scripture. His Word will light your path. It'll show you which way to go. It'll help you to stay on the straight and narrow. So many people get confused and get sidetracked by different teachings and issues. And I tell you, if you just hold to the truth of Scripture and stick on that path, it'll keep you. It'll keep you safe. It'll keep you walking in life and peace. It'll keep you walking in victory. You know, when Satan came and tempted Jesus, he used the Scripture, but he was abusing it. He was twisting it and using it in a way that God never intended. And Jesus, each time he was tempted, Jesus answered with the Scripture. And you see, so it is a lot of the time when deception comes and we are tempted, there may be even be a Scripture involved. But how do you know that that Scripture is being misused? Because you know other Scripture. You don't just know a verse or two. You have grounded yourself in the Word of God. So if you're a believer and you've been serving the Lord for a long time, I just challenge you and encourage you to keep going. Just dig in deeper. Be that workman that has nothing to be ashamed of, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And if you're a new believer, or maybe you've just kind of been sitting back and not really digging into the Word, you start today. You start in the morning with that 15 minutes and make it a commitment that you're going to do every day of your life to study the Scriptures and to walk in the truth and all that God has for you. Well, stand with me and let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your Word. Lord, I know it is truth. I know it is that which reveals the path of life to us. Father, I know that it is the sword of the Spirit. Lord, that with it we can overcome our enemy. And Father, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that every person in this building tonight, Lord, would have that resolve to be a student of the Word, to study the Word of God, to love the Word of God. Church, I just have to say, when the psalmist says, oh, how I love thy law. I know sometimes we may pick it up and we may read and we may say, well, I didn't get nothing out of that. But I'm telling you, there are going to be times when that word saves your family. That word saves your life. Like when my wife is reading in the doctor's office, it says, you shall live and not die, declare the works of the Lord. It wasn't an accident. I'm telling you, there are going to be times when that word was just the thing that you needed to keep you from temptation that day. There's going to be times when that word was what you needed for your child that day. I'm telling you, there may be times you read it and say, I don't know if I got anything out of that. You know what? Even that day, that scripture you read and think you got nothing out of, 3 weeks later, the Holy Spirit may bring it to your remembrance in a certain situation. So don't allow the enemy to dupe you and make you think that you can't understand the Bible and you can't get anything out of it. I'm telling you, it is spirit and life to us. So study it, love it, cherish it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Y'all just forgive me for being long-winded tonight. I guess I'm just on a peeve here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, that as we study your word, the Spirit of the Lord reveal truth to us that we might walk in it. And Father, that you would be glorified in it. Use us, Lord, for your honor and glory in this world. And Lord, may we share this gospel, share this truth with others. Lord, that your love would flow through us, Lord, as we reach out to others in truth. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.